This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
On the southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag. When the battle has been won, you can hear the ocean roar. On Marina Harbor, there's a good wind for sailing, and they leave me standing on the shore where seagulls fly.
Lost. One. Yes, after 17 games against established Big Six opposition in the Premier League for Brighton and Hove Albion, they finally have the coveted 3 points. Arsenal 1, Brighton and Hove Albion 2. How sweet doth that sound? On the line we have Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. This is, of course, Love Sport Radio and the Brighton and Hove Albion fan show. Joshua, talk to me. You must be delighted.
Yeah, over the moon. It has been a long time coming, ain't it?
I mean, mate, listen, 4 points as well, by the way, in those 17 games. Of course, the 3 points yesterday and the one draw. All of those points coming against Arsenal. I bet you wish you could play them every week.
Yeah, I bet Potter feels the same way too, because when he brought Ostersunds over, he beat them 2-1 at the Emirates as well in the Euros. So I think he just has some kind of affinity for the Emirates. I don't know what it is, but he enjoys his time there.
I mean, mate, there's so much to dissect with this one. I read a lot of reports after the game, watched the game live because I knew that we'd be talking about it. And I did think, you know, I just had a sneaky suspicion that Brighton would get something from this. Not the Brighton of old, not the Brighton of Chris Hughton at all, but the Brighton of Graham Potter. And a lot of the reports, and Martin Allen, who we have on Love Sport on many shows, spoke to me earlier and actually pulled me up for saying it. And I said, you know, I wasn't in agreement with a lot of the reports that said they showed guts, they showed steely determination, because I felt like that was almost ignoring the way that Brighton had set their stall out, because it wasn't all about guts and steely determination. It was about a brilliant possession-based football approach implemented by Graham Potter. And actually, they played better football than Arsenal, you could argue. And I have to say, I did half agree with Martin, because he did say, all right, I get that they played that way, but did it not show guts to do that? Did it not show steely determination for Graham Potter to turn around to his troops and go, right, we're going to play whichever way that we want to play, because we don't care that it's Arsenal, we're Brighton, and this is the way that we play?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point, but I think he's got a track record of doing that when he decided to go toe-to-toe with Man City in the possession game at the Etihad. He has a track record of thinking, you know, this is our identity, this is who we are, and this is how we're going to play. So I'm not too surprised at that. I was surprised at just how well we did control the game. Like you said, like I do feel like it's been more of a conversation about Leicester, Arsenal being bad, or Arsenal like falling apart under Lundberg or whatever, but we were the better team yesterday, which is wild to think, really, with the record that you just listed off of loss. So, you know, like we had better possession. We had far more shots than they did. We matched them in almost every kind of statistical category. So, like, we were well worth the win yesterday.
Absolutely well worth the win. And let's single out some individuals. I think when Aaron Moy is on it, when he wants to play the way that he can play, he really plays the way that he wants to play, right? I know that sounds like a really simple assessment of his performance yesterday, but he's clearly got such quality. And when he's on the boil, he's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he really is. He's came to us, and the performances he's putting in are the ones that he was putting in week after week in Huddersfield's first season that kept them up against all odds. And he's came to us, and he's doing the same kind of thing. And when you have a midfield that is so technically proficient as, like, Moy, Proper, Pascal Gross, all in there feeding the ball forward, like, you're going to cause problems for anybody. And every single one of them feel like they obviously know what they're doing. They feel confident in making those passes. Potter has obviously encouraged it. And it was a shame that Moy got sent off at Villa, because he was playing like this then. And he's had to have a little bit of a break from the team because of it. But he's came back and he's hit the ground running again. And yeah, he was awesome yesterday.
When you speak of that midfield as well, I mean, that's solid, right? That is one to challenge not every midfield in the Premier League, of course. You know, you look at the likes of City and Liverpool. Yes, they are out on their own. Chelsea have a brilliant midfield now with Kante, with Jorginho, with Kovacic, and many more that can fill that one. Ross Barkley coming back from injury as well. But those names that you mentioned there, like you said, Proper, Gross, Moy, decent players. And Del Stevens backing that up as well.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't, we didn't even include, like, Dale Stevens, who is incredibly technically adept. Like, he plays a much more defensive role. Even under Potter, he continues to play that way. But, you know, he's been a mainstay in the side for a reason. That entire midfield, the argument is maybe it lacks a bit of pace, it lacks a bit of width. But we don't seem to suffer too much, because we continue to grind out decent results even when we do that. So, yeah, they're a force to be reckoned with. I mean, Moy was Huddersfield's player of the season for however long he was there, really. Proper is a Dutch international. Pascal Gross is probably one of the most underrated players outside of the top six. So, yeah, we've really hit the jackpot with them all coming together, and Potter having them play how they do.
And I know we talk about him pretty much every show. Matty Ryan, again, pulling out all the stops. And I think I said this last week, that he is one of those goalkeepers that isn't outstanding, or maybe he is now, I don't know, maybe that's poor analysis for me now, but he just seems like a goalkeeper that makes good saves. And yesterday, that stop from Gabriel Martinelli, which is hugely underrated, because yes, Martinelli didn't have that much pace on the header, but his starting position, Matty Ryan, and the way that he adjusted his feet, his footwork, and his decision to not dive instantly, to actually hold a couple of milliseconds and then dive and then push it wide, was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant again yesterday.
Yeah, he's honestly saved us a fair few points already this season. And the biggest thing for Matt Ryan, of anything, is his distribution too. Like, it was something that wasn't as good in the last couple of seasons, and now he's being encouraged to play out from the back like that as well. Like, his ability to beat the press, like, you have three or four players coming forward. Arsenal did it loads of times yesterday. They pressed high, it went back to Matt Ryan, and he just dinked it over four or five of them out to a fullback, and we'd beaten their press, and they were, you know, they had three or four people back, and we were able to counterattack them immediately. And that isn't even including that, like you said, like, these saves that he's making week after week. His positioning is great. His confidence to come out fast against these big players too, as well. It's something that I don't think he had a lot of confidence last season, but this season seems to have been growing and growing. He's an unbelievable goalkeeper.
Yeah, he really is. And I want to talk about your back line as well, and one man in particular in Dan Byrne, who was effectively playing left back yesterday, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
So that, I mean, one of the world's tallest left backs you're ever going to see. He's around 6'7", Dan Byrne, but again, didn't let anything get past him, and he collapsed in an almighty heap on the floor because I think he was just utterly exhausted.
Yeah, I think he had to deal with a constant mixture of Aubameyang, Lacazette, Bellerin, constantly marauding down that side if they had a chance. And like you said, like, he isn't a left back. Even when he started with us this season, that it was a surprise to even see him in the side. But then he was always the kind of left-sided centre-back of the back three. So when we turn to like a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1 like we did yesterday, like, the idea of Dan Byrne playing left-back was insane. But we tend to play a lot narrower defensively when we play that back four. And Dan Byrne is just so big and so long that, like, there was a couple of times yesterday that like, they thought they'd broken through, thought they were able to get a ball in the middle, and this giant giraffe leg came in and, like, chopped it out of the air.
And Steven Alzate as well. I know we've spoken about him a lot on this show as well, but when you consider where he was last season, and actually suffered with that injury as well on loan at Swindon, so he's out of the game for, you know, a few months, but he showed yesterday he can mix it with the best. Did not look out of place whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be up there as a candidate of one of the greatest years ever as a young kid, right? Like, he went from playing at Swindon and, like, having injuries to being almost a regular Premier League starter and debuting for Colombia. Like, the kid has had an unbelievable second half of 2019. And that play yesterday when he... Because he was right back yesterday, which is somewhere he hasn't often played yet. That tracking back that he made when they were breaking to deny Aubameyang was, like, world class. There wasn't the constant ability to just track him back was incredible. I did not see that coming. I thought we were going to concede, and then all of a sudden he's there and takes him wide and then takes the ball out. I think he's playing about six different positions so far this season, and he's done well in all of them, and he's only 21.
Yeah, it's incredible. Let's talk the goals as well. Adam Webster with his second of the season. Relatively routine, that one, but a great header from Neil Maupay to get the winner. That's his fifth of the season. He's not set the world alight. I don't think anybody really expected Maupay to set the world alight, but he has scored five goals, five important goals as well, you'd have to say. None more so important than that goal yesterday. A great header, and clearly, the more you watch Maupay, and I saw him a lot for Brentford last season, and I thought, I wonder whether he will adapt his game slightly, whether Potter will bring something else out in him. I don't think he's actually got... I'm not going to say he's not got the ability, but he's very much an 18-yard box striker. An old-school fox in the box, if you will. But he is predatory inside there.
Yeah, he really is. And, you know, like you said, like, he scored five goals in, like, 12 starts. That's not a bad go for coming up from the Championship. And when you've got people around him like we have, like, Aaron Connolly has came on now and is providing, like, a real tough width kind of address there. You have Trossard, who is also able to cause a lot of problems. And then that midfield that we were talking about behind him, like, he's in a position, and again, as someone who's only 23, that can, like, continue to grow for us. And he was well worth his goal yesterday. He's been unlucky a couple of games this season not to get goals. So when that ball came in and he got on the end of it, I was really happy for him. It was quite funny to see Big Dan Burn behind him, 6'7", waiting for the ball to drop to him, like, 5'8". Maupay's won the header. But it was well worth the goal.
Yeah, indeed it was. And that's the first win in a month for Brighton now, climbing three spaces in the league. It doesn't always mean too much. Come the end of the season, it absolutely does. Just 1 point behind Arsenal now. We talked about this run of fixtures that Brighton had, of course, losing to United, losing to Leicester, and losing to Liverpool. We haven't even spoken about the Liverpool game, by the way. Came very, very close to getting at least a point at Anfield last week. But you got the victory, mate. You didn't expect to get any victory out of this run of games, and it has come.
Yeah, no, I really didn't. I like I said to you the first time, I thought a point against Leicester would have been good. I didn't realise just how good Leicester were. But, you know, like we said last week, this was a game where we could have ended up targeting something because of the kind of crisis they're in. And, you know, when we went up 1-0 at half-time and we went in, I said to my friend who I was watching it with, like, I'll bite your hand off for a point now. And so to go on and win it was just unbelievable. I did not see it coming at all. So that's a bonus 3 points that I didn't expect to get. And like you've been saying all season long, it is so weirdly close from pretty much the entirety of, like, the middle of the table. So those 3 points probably may be more important than most years with how tight it is in there.
Yeah, quite staggering at the moment. Brighton's currently on 18 points in the Premier League after 15 games. Wolves, their opponents tomorrow, just 5 points ahead in fifth. So just 5 points separating 5th to 13th in the Premier League. We are going to be speaking to a Wolves fan after this as we focus on the upcoming game for Brighton this weekend.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Good evening, you're listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another 42 minutes on this splendid Friday evening. It is our Friday night fan show special, and right now we are talking all things Brighton with Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. We've just reflected on that brilliant, wonderful, superb victory at Arsenal yesterday. Arsenal in all kinds of problems, but let's not let that overshadow what was an exemplary tactical masterstroke from Graham Potter. Of course, he won at the Emirates with Ostersunds a couple of seasons ago, like we discussed. So he's got history there in getting one over Arsenal. And he did it again yesterday. Goals from Adam Webster, his second of the season. And Neil Maupay getting his fifth of the season, of course. A brilliant header to get that one beyond Bernd Leno and take Brighton to within 1 point of Arsenal in the Premier League. They sit in 13th at the moment. Now, Josh, as we just said there, we spoke to you a couple of months ago and we looked ahead to those four fixtures. Man United, Leicester, Liverpool, Arsenal. What we didn't factor in was that Wolves came after all of that. And that midweek for Wolves, that midweek win over West Ham, has taken their unbeaten run to 10 league games. If they avoid defeat against Brighton, it's going to be their longest undefeated streak in the top flight in 57 years. So perhaps we should have extended that four-game run to 5 games. What do you think?
Maybe. They're a team that are in incredible form, like you said. Like they've really picked it up, because at the beginning of the season, they were in big trouble. I thought they were in that kind of Europa League hell where teams get to Europa League, they get to the group stages and their league form goes out the window, like we've seen a whole bunch of times. But yeah, they've definitely come back and they've been playing some good stuff. I think it's a lot more winnable than the last four, especially with the fact that we've just done one over on Arsenal. I think that the confidence will be sky high and it'll be interesting to see what kind of team they play, because I believe they have a game midweek at home to Besiktas. So it's going to be interesting to see whether they chop and change, because then I think they also have Spurs next week. So they have a run of fixtures that are a bit rough as well. So it will be interesting to see how they line up away at the Amex.
Yeah, you're right. You're bang on there. Of course, they do play in the Europa League on Thursday. They host Besiktas. I think the positive thing from their perspective is that they've already qualified. So he's actually allowed himself to almost have a bit of a week off, in a sense. A bit like Man United did against Astana a couple of weeks ago, or last week, whenever it was, when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer fielded that experimental side, the young side. So you'd imagine that Nuno Espirito Santo will probably do the same thing. And I guess as well, when you look at this week's fixtures, the Amazon Prime week, I like to call it, a different type of coverage we got here. To be fair, I suppose for you guys, you're obviously based out in the US, I suppose it was no different for you, was it, this week? Was it just the same kind of coverage that you always get?
Yeah, so I'm lucky. So NBC Sports has a deal here, and they provide like NBC Sports Gold, and you pay like £60 for the year, and you just get any game you want every week. So I was able to just tune in as usual and stick it on, get the coverage super easy. So we didn't get affected by Prime Week, but I was glad to see that finally, you know, the UK are trying to work it out so that fans can watch games more often without having to go to all of them.
Yeah, I agree. Although I have to say, part of me, and I'm a bit of a dinosaur, Josh, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm something of a traditionalist. I get ripped for it on this station many, many times throughout the week. Every single day I'm moaning about something or other. But I do feel like there is almost a bit too much football on TV. I almost feel like we're a bit spoilt that, listen, back in the day, it used to just be the one game on a Sunday afternoon, and that was great. And yes, it is better to have more football. I like watching football on a Monday night. I actually quite like watching it on a Friday night, at least when I'm not working, that is. But I do feel like having a game on, listen, all week this week, there was a game every single day. There was a Championship game on Monday, then you had Premier League on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then another Championship game tonight. That is a game on every single night of the week, at least in English football. I know if you want to search for global football, you can find it wherever you want pretty much every day. But to have English football on every single day of the week, Thursday, Premier League football on a Thursday, just seems a bit bizarre for me.
Yeah, I'm sure that my managers have been on my reporting and wondered why my productivity has dipped this week, that's for sure. Because I'm able to watch whatever I want. So, yeah, it is weird. But, I think it's coming up to the Christmas period now. So, and we're having that international break this year. Not international, the kind of winter break this year, right? So I think maybe they're trying to cram in before that, or is that next year?
That'll be next year. That'll be obviously we've got the World Cup coming in, so there will be an a winter break then. But no, the games are coming thick and fast, Josh. So yes, I mean, like you said, you host Wolves this weekend, and then the games are coming thick and fast until December and beyond. So no, there will definitely be no break. And speaking of that, Albion would have had just 24 hours fewer to recover for this game. Of course, Wolves playing a day before Brighton. So do you think that will play a part at all, that Wolves might be slightly fresher for this one?
No, not really. They're elite professional athletes. I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. It's not even like we've travelled up to Newcastle or somewhere. It was just a quick journey up into London. So I don't really buy into that that sort of like a time frame like that, simply because they're so fit these days. They're just so on top of their game, and I'm sure that they're well equipped. And not only that, but anybody who isn't, we've got a pretty decent squad depth, and I'm sure that Potter will be rotating anyway, so I'm not too worried about that.
There are a number of ways that you can look at this fixture as well, Adam, and we always refer to past meetings, of course. Now, games between Brighton and Wolves, at least in the top flight, and listen, this has been spread out over a number of years, of course, because you haven't both been in the top flight at the same time for quite a while now, apart from the past two seasons that we've seen. However, Wolves in the top flight against Brighton have failed to score in the last seven meetings in the top flight. However, on the flip side, they're currently undefeated in five Premier League away games. So that, again, that is a brilliant run that they've had, the longest since they've had, again, since the 50s, 1959. So pros and cons to this one, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, it is. And it was at the point where we were really bad last year when we had them come to us. It was towards the end of the season, and or rather when we went up to there and we kind of stole a point off of them with no right whatsoever. But I think we're in a really good spot at this point. You know, we play that kind of football that's going to cause them problems. It's going to be similar to Arsenal in that they like to play the football that they like to play, and Wolves definitely have an identity. It's a good one because it got into Europe last season and they're sitting in fifth now, no matter how tight it is. But I think it's the kind of style that Potter likes to play with. So I think it's a game that I'm probably more confident against than usual, really, simply because I think they're the kind of team that Potter likes to play against.
And a quick prediction from you, Josh, on this one. How do you see it going?
I am going to guess that we win it 2-1.
Brighton very much on the up. Of course, it's Monday night football for you. The following week, you go away to Crystal Palace in that rivalry that we have obviously seen develop over the years. Just quickly before you go, Josh, FA Cup draw was, of course, held earlier this week. Home tie for you, Sheffield Wednesday. What do you make of that one? Excited by it, or just, well, it's the FA Cup third round is what it is?
Happy with it. I think a home, I always want a home tie. Always makes it nice to keep our home tie going, and I think it's one that we can win. But yeah, the FA Cup, since we've got into the Premier League, the magic has lost a little bit for me, because I'm just so desperate for us to stay up, and I'd rather stay up than, go on a cup run. But then last year when we made that semi-final, there was like the magic was definitely back. So I think if we can beat Sheffield Wednesday and continue progressing through as well as doing well in the league, then I'll be all right. But there is that like conservative part. I mean, like, waited 20 years to get to the Premier League. Let's not screw it up on a FA Cup game.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the attitude for a lot of fans. Of course, got to the semi-finals last year, but put in a rather pitiful, I'm going to say, performance against Manchester City on that occasion. Had a real opportunity there to maybe test them. Of course, they were chasing for a successive Premier League title at the time, but an early goal from Gabriel Jesus, wasn't it, that helped Man City to that 1-0 victory. So yeah, I suppose an early departure this season, focus on the Premier League and maybe register your highest ever finishing position in the top flight. Josh, it's been great having you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We'll see you and speak about the game, and of course look ahead to the clash with Crystal Palace next week.
Yep, dreading it.
That was Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast, because Brighton, of course, host Wolves tomorrow. Wolves not with the best record against Brighton, it has to be said. They failed to score in their last four games against Brighton. Failed to score, in fact, in their last seven games against Brighton in the top flight. So maybe, just maybe, the omens are in Brighton's favour after that victory against Arsenal yesterday. Wolves, however, on a very good run in the Premier League. 10 unbeaten since that defeat to Chelsea in September. On for some records, absolutely, under Nuno Espirito Santo. This has been the Brighton Hove Albion Fan Show. We'll be back with El Clasico in a minute.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.